Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Coming up today, you'll hear from Mitch Lukovich on the Rays Winter Development Program. We'll introduce you to several of the participants, and Andy Freed looks back at the offseason today.
This is Rays Radio. Now here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks for joining us on this Friday, January 16th. Let's get started with our look back at this week's Winter Development Program. From Monday to Thursday, the Rays hosted 29 minor leaguers, and for 9 of them, they weren't even part of the Tampa Bay organization as of July 31st. So that said, let's begin with a productive 4-day stretch.
It's time to go inside the operating room and take a look at Rays baseball operations.
We continue on our latest This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, and with this being the week for the Winter Development Program for the Rays, joining me now is Mitch Lukovich. Mitch, thanks very much for being with us. And this program now in its sixth year, what does it mean to the organization, and how's it changed over the last several years?
Well, Neil, thanks for having me first. And second, this is our sixth annual Winter Development Program, and what we do is bring in, you know, the first year we brought 22 players in here, not really knowing how the program would work, but it's an off-season check to see where they're at and what they're doing during the off-season. Can we help them for the next couple weeks before they come into spring training as we see where they're at? The one thing we can't do is go all across the nation and go to their home. So we bring a bunch of young men here up to see where they're at. The program really hasn't evolved into too much more than that. We do a lot of, we go to the Boys and Girls Club for charity. We take the kids to McDill. On top of everything we do here in the morning, skill-wise, strength and condition-wise, and so forth. So it hasn't changed all that much, but it has great impact on these young men.
Who is it more helpful for, you and your staff to evaluate the kids, or the kids to learn from you in some ways more about the Rays way?
I think it helps both. One, it helps us to see where they're at in the off season, and like I mentioned, we can't be in each player's home. So what are they doing at home in regard to hitting? We bring them in here to see if their swing's the same as, you know, when they left the season. Is it the same now? Because you never know what can happen in the off season and who our players get together with. We can't watch them 24 hours in the off season. So it's beneficial for us to see that. But when you bring all these players in here, there's a lot of peer pressure. And the first year, the guys didn't come back in, I wouldn't say tip-top shape, but, you know, they really didn't know what to expect. Now these kids look forward to this. Now they're coming in better shape. And they're really honored to be as part of this program.
The program is a little different this year in terms of the number of first-year kids. And not only that, you look at, of the 29 guys, 9 of them were not in the organization until July 31st, with Willy Adames being, I guess, the veteran of that group. So how important is this for you guys to get to know these new players?
I think it's really cool. 9 new players and 9 players that have skill coming into our organization. We as development people are excited about that simply because, you know, the skill set that comes in and it gives us an opportunity to develop them. It's no different when Ben Zobrist and Sean Rodriguez and Matt Joyce and Alex Torres all came into the organization. It gave us player development guys an opportunity to develop them, make an impact on our big league team, in which they all did. Now we get these 9 young men coming new. Important for us to see, but I can tell you, Neil, what I think is equally important is for them to come here, start learning each other, meeting new teammates. Coming here in January will ease the anxiety of going to spring training and not knowing anybody. And when you're a young man, that can be, I wouldn't say traumatic, but they could be a little nervous with. Now we bring them in here. We all meet. They meet, you know, teammates that they could room with in Port Charlotte. It makes it easier for everybody.
I was going to ask you how much that helps, because I'm sure you forget their people and they get traded for the first time. All of these kids are traded for the first time. They're wondering, okay, where do I fit in?
Well, they are people, but they're very young people. And so they're young. It's not like they're 27 years old. Some of these kids are 19, you know, maybe 20. And what happens is they're the for the most part, the best in those other organizations, and now they get traded. They're shocked that comes with that, because everybody who signs with an organization, Neil, feels that they're going to play in the big leagues with that team, and all of a sudden they get a phone call. Well, we have good news and bad news, you know, that type of thing. And now they're traded. Now they come here. They're young. They're impressionable. And they really don't know what to expect. So it helps both our staff to get to know these new players that we have. It helps the new players to get to know the staff, but not only the staff, but to get to know all of our players. And so they are comfortable come to Port Charlotte in the spring training.
I know it's very, very early. You're not going to see a whole lot on the field from these kids this period, but what have you been impressed with about the group, especially the guys who are new to the organization?
Well, the first thing that stands out is maturation for young players, and that starts with Willie Adames. When Willie, you know, came to us during the season, I see maturation and I see skill. Now, certainly we're not playing any games, but we're doing certain things here that, whether we're doing soft toss or a little batting practice in the cage, and you can see and you can hear how the ball, you know, comes off the bat, or doing elementary infield work here on in Tropicana Field, you can see how their feet move, you can see how they throw, although this isn't a strenuous camp. That's not the purpose. So two things that stick out: maturation and skill.
Well, we look forward to hearing about the maturity of these youngsters and their skill in days, weeks, months, and years to come. Thanks very much for a few minutes on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Thank you, Neil.
That's Rays Director of Minor League Operations, Mitch Lukovich, in our Inside the Operating Room segment. Now, the Rays Winter Development Program, as Mitch mentioned, is all-encompassing. Included are multiple community appearances.
Time to check out the Community Corner and see what the Rays are doing in the community.
And we continue on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast with the Rays Senior Director of Community Relations, Suzanne Lukey. Suzanne, Mitch Lukovich just told us a little bit about the Winter Development Program being all-encompassing, and obviously community is a very big part of that. Let us know what the players do during the course of that week and why it's important.
Well, the community aspect is an important part of the winter development. It's an opportunity for our players to really embrace the entire Rays Way culture, and community activity is such an important part of that. So we were fortunate to have our guys visit MacDill Air Force Base, which is a really important part of Tampa Bay. And yesterday they were at the Boys and Girls Club in Pinellas County visiting the kids. And the work that we do in the community focuses a great deal on youth development and helping kids succeed through the magic of baseball. So it's very critical that our players understand that early on.
How important is it for them to just understand that, because they're going to go to minor league teams, and also know that, hey, being part of the community is what you do from the moment you start in this organization?
It's critical, really, because as they develop in their career, this is a big part of the expectation that we have. And knowing that, balancing that, thinking about the impact that they want to have in the community, it's best they do that from the very start.
And I know that you have a lot of players, as they've come to the major leagues, who've approached you and said, here are some things that I want to do, which is great that they're thinking in that way because of the experience they've already had.
Right. Not only does it make our jobs easier, but it allows us to really help them develop impactful partnerships in the community. The more we know about what they want to do, the more time they have to think about where they want to have an impact in the community, the better off we are as an organization, and certainly the better off our community is.
That's Rays Senior Director of Community Relations, Suzanne Lukey, on our Community Corner segment regarding the Rays Winter Development Program. Time now to hear from some of the players involved. Of the 29 who attended, 4 participated in the prestigious Arizona Fall League. Right-handed pitcher Jamie Schultz was one of them. A 14th-round pick in 2013, Schultz was excited to go from there to the Rays Winter Development Program.
It's an honor. I mean, this is my second time, and first time I didn't really know what to expect. I wasn't sure what it was, but after I got that time to come here, coming back is just, it's awesome. You get to work with all the guys who they think so highly of, and, I mean, everyone that's around here, like all the coaching staff and all the trainers, and then to see the big leaguers walking around, it's like you can only try to take as much as you can in, so it's awesome.
You mentioned being here last year, so you're a veteran. There are very few guys who are back because there's so many new guys in the organization. What's that been like to get to know some new faces?
It's awesome having other guys here, and I mean, a lot of them we've played against or have been at higher levels, so like I said before, you just get to talk to them, and they have their own input on how they see the world differently, and you can only take from what they know.
Some of them you played against in the Arizona Fall League. What did you learn from that experience, and how do you think it will help you in 2015?
I learned that there's always work to be put in, and I mean, you see some of those guys have been in the major leagues, and they're still there for a reason to get better. And, I mean, you just have to keep grinding and keep working, and eventually it's going to pay off. And it's just been a great experience to be able to get out there and then to come here twice.
Did it help to also have Justin O'Connor catching there and also have RC, who is a pitching coach in the Rays system, coaching out there?
Yeah, that's kind of a surprise, you know, to – not many people get to work with their own pitching coach in their organization. So, you mean, to work with him, it's kind of getting to know someone on a better level. And that was my first time getting to work with him. So hopefully down the road I'll work with him a lot more, and we kind of know each other. And then, I mean, throwing a J.O., I mean, he's got one of the best arms in, I would say, all of MLB. And, I mean, it's just it's a bonding level that many people don't get. And it's just a blessing that you get to work with him all the time. And hopefully we keep working down the road.
How do you want to improve this coming year? I know you made some very strong improvements last year.
Yeah, I mean, always a goal is to get stronger and in better shape. So I've been doing that a lot in this offseason, and I want to improve on my command a lot. And that's really what my main focus is for this year.
So do you set personal goals as to how many walks per nine innings you want to reduce by, or how many innings you want to pitch in a given year? Or
I want to pitch the full year, you know, get up around maybe like 120, 150, up around there. But as far as goals like that, I don't set like an actual number. It's more of how you feel in the end of it and the end result. You know, if I go out there and have 5 walks and everything was borderline and I felt like I had better control, you know, it's better than saying I had no walks and I had no clue where the ball was going and I just lucked out. So it's more of a feel thing.
That's Jamie Schultz, a 2013 draft pick who finished last year in high A with the Charlotte Stone Crabs. Pitcher Mark Sappington, like Schultz, was in the Arizona Fall League. But unlike Schultz, he started the Fall League in the Angels organization, then was traded to the Rays in the Cesar Ramos deal. Sappington told me how he found out about the news.
It was actually really wild. I had just pitched an inning in the Arizona Fall League for the Mesa Solar Sox, and I threw a clean inning, got taken out, and they're like, hey, you know, you're done for the day. I was like, all right. So I went and sat down on the bench talking to a couple guys, and then I looked over, or someone yelled my name at the other end of the dugout, and I just looked over, and it was my pitching coach, Matt Wise, and he was on the phone, and he's like, Sap, you got a phone call. I was like, dang, what, like, a million things run through your head. I was like, man, I haven't done anything, I think, that's out of the ordinary. So I went over there, and it's like, so Bobby Scales, our head of player development, he's like, Sap, it's Bobby. Congratulations. You've just been traded to the Tampa Bay Rays. And so that was pretty – and I was just like, I don't know. You think it's kind of like when you get in a car wreck and, you know, like people say their life flashed before their eyes. Well, you know, it was kind of weird because, like, he said that and it was just like, boom. It was like my baseball career with the Angels had flashed before my eyes. So it was pretty crazy, kind of overwhelmed for a second. And then it was like, man, how cool is it to be you know, and then I talked to Jerry DePoto, who was our general manager, is our general manager, and he kind of broke the trade down for me a little bit. And so I know Cesar or Mr. Ramos, he was a very good pitcher for you guys for the past few years, a great swing man, and they needed cost controlled left-handed reliever, and bam, that's what they got. And so luckily I was able to get a great opportunity over here, and I couldn't be happier.
How much do these few days help you in getting to know an organization before you have to go to spring training? You at least have some familiar faces.
Yeah, it's a really nice opportunity, really nice to just be able to engage kind of informally with the guys. I mean, we get to go out to dinner. We got a couple community events, which are really cool. We get to go to MacDill Air Force Base yesterday, and so that was just fun kind of just to get out and, you know, and just – engage, and that's kind of cool. Connect with a couple guys. Casey Gillespie was a guy that I've gotten to know pretty well. He's a great dude. And then Ryan Stanek, who's a buddy of mine from Kansas City area. So those guys, and then, you know, Kevin Cash was here, so it's great to, you know, meet your future manager. And I think that was really cool. Just that everybody here, they all take a vested interest from the top down, and that's, I mean, you can't buy that. That's great.
I know you started and then relieved last year. Right. How do you see yourself going into this year, and what are your goals for this coming season?
I'm just going into it with an open mind. I'm not really positive of what route we're going to take. I know they had said we're going to talk about it a little bit when spring comes about. And then goals for the year, just to continue to improve and obviously, you know, make it to the highest level. So that's, you know, as the year goes on, it's just, you know, that's the dream. You want to achieve that. And so whenever it happens, it's great, you know, whether it's this year, whenever. But that's definitely the goal, is to continue moving vertically.
Well, great to meet you. Best of luck in your new organization, your first year with the Rays.
I appreciate it, man. Nice to meet you.
That's Mark Sappington, who throws in the mid-90s and probably relieves in the Rays organization come this spring. Sappington found out how he was traded in the Arizona Fall League. Andrew Velazquez, an infielder who came to the Rays in the Jeremy Hellickson trade, was in winter ball in Puerto Rico when he got the news.
So I guess during the middle of the game, when the player development guy called me, I was out on the field. So directly after the game, call him up, heard about the trade. I'm going to put you in contact with Tampa Bay. That was it. A couple of dudes from Tampa Bay called me. Welcome to the organization. Here I am. If it feel like it just happened like that.
Yeah. Has it settled in or sunk in for you?
Yeah, I think once I got some of the gear, you know, see my name on the back of a jersey, that was pretty awesome. So love the colors too. And from what I could tell, just being here these couple of days, great organization, a lot of good people, a lot of young talent, man. A lot.
Did it help to come over with Justin so you had at least one familiar face with you?
Yeah, it did. Also, the scout who signed me came over too, so that's pretty awesome. Anytime you know somebody, you know, in the organization, makes it a lot more easy, a lot more comfortable. So, yeah, it definitely helped a lot.
How much do these few days help you too? Because you get to know a lot of guys rather than a massive spring training where everything's thrown at you.
Yeah, it helps a lot. I mean, I was really looking forward to coming out here just – mainly, you know, for that fact, just to meet everybody, get familiar with the coaches, the training staff, so especially the players. You know, it's different when you play against them. You see them for a couple of days, and then they go. But now, you know, being in the same locker room as some of the kids, it's pretty awesome, you know, getting to know people and new friendships too, you know. So that's awesome.
Describe yourself a little bit as a player. I mean, you look at your stats, and I read stuff, but how would you describe yourself?
Just feisty, you know. I'm trying to be a tough out. Use my legs on both sides of the plate. I'm gonna play hard and run faster. And just a good teammate. I just try and be a good teammate and lead by example. Rather than, I'm not really a rowdy guy, but I like to think I lead by example in the way I play. So I just try and play hard.
You mentioned having played in winter ball in Puerto Rico. What was that experience like, and how much do you think that helps you going into this year?
It helped me tremendously, just from talking to some of the players that were over there. You know, there's guys who had 20 years experience and former all-stars as coaches. And so anytime you're around people like that, it's always good to just baseball conversation with them. You're going to learn so much. And just from watching dudes play, there's a lot of big leaguers, a lot of AA, AAA. So I felt like a kid out there, but it was awesome, man. Great experience. And I'm looking forward to actually even going another year. Learn even more. I think it helped me a lot.
Who was especially helpful?
The manager, Carlos Vallarga. The other coach, Ivan De Jesus, was great with the infielders. Huicho Figueroa, like 20 years in the game. This was last year. He helped me tremendously. He was on me all the time. Every pitch he was getting on me. So that was awesome. Yeah.
Where do you want to improve the most this year? I know you put up very good numbers overall last season in your first real full year.
Yeah, for me, I think just cutting down on the strikeouts, putting the ball in play, using my speed way more, steal more bags. I know I had a lot, but you always want more in baseball, I guess. But yeah, just cutting down on strikeouts, and that's going to help me to keep my average up, my on base up, and just create runs for the team, get those big boys to bring me in.
That's Andrew Velazquez, who was traded in the Jeremy Hellickson deal last November. Jake Bowers, part of the Big 11 player trade involving Will Myers, was home in California when he found out he was dealt. Being on the West Coast means a three-hour time difference, so Bowers had a lot of catching up to do the morning the news got out.
I woke up around 9 o'clock and looked at my phone, and I mean, it was blown up. Text messages, missed calls, Twitter notifications, and so I was like, what? What is going on? And then I saw the news, and you know, I was so excited just because I know of all the positive opportunities that come from these things, and it's great that the Rays think of me as such an important piece like that.
How important was it then to come here and spend this time kind of getting to know the organization before spring training and meet some teammates too?
Definitely very important. I know when I first signed and went over to Arizona my first year, it was harder to do it because it was in such a big group. And so it's awesome to be here and be in this small group of players and obviously the most important instructors. And so it's been good getting to know everyone and meeting everyone.
You played against some of them, and I know you had a very successful year in the Midwest League. So did you know many of the guys at all just from playing against them?
I had known a few from, like you said, Bowling Green, being in Fort Wayne this year. Obviously, you know, you make friends with a few guys on the field, but nothing like in the same clubhouse type setting. So that's what I'm going for. And I mean, everything's going great so far. A bunch of great guys. So everything's going good so far.
Beyond meeting new faces, what have you learned in the few days you've been here about the organization?
It's a very, very professional organization, a lot of respect top to bottom, just between staff and players, and that's something that I think is great. It's just, I think it's head and shoulders above all other organizations in terms of just the level of importance on sticking to the rules and having that respect towards everyone else.
I've read about what you've done on the field. How would you describe yourself as a player, and where do you want to grow most in 2015?
You know, if I describe myself as a player, you know, I'd call myself not your typical first baseman. Obviously, you know, I like to stick more gap to gap. I'm not gonna get in there and try and yank home runs. And I pride myself on my defense. That's something that I think not a lot of first basemen really strive towards, and I think it's something that definitely separates you, is being a great first baseman, being a great defender out there. And you know, during this year, definitely I just want to keep all my defense up and obviously put up same kind of numbers I was putting up last year.
You mentioned you grew up in California. The Florida State League, where I assume you'd go next, is a league where the weather's very hot. You got to deal with humidity. What's the biggest thing that you look at in preparing for that kind of heat, you know, 140 some odd games?
Well, I mean, all that preparation really is now. I mean, you can't get into the season and expect your body to be ready if you didn't prepare it right in the off season. So that's what I'm going for now. I know last year I definitely would have liked to finish a little stronger, and so that's something that I'm taking and I'm using, and I'm trying to get my body and everything ready now so that when August, September comes, I'm ready to go still.
That's Jake Bowers, who hit .296 for Fort Wayne in the Midwest League last year. He played against Willie Adames, the key piece in the David Price trade with Detroit and Seattle. Many at the camp raved about Adames and his maturity, and I asked Willie, who's only been in the U.S. for a year, what the camp was like.
I mean, that's great. You play with a lot of talent around you, and you learn with them, you know. I'm enjoying the time, you know. I'm just playing, I'm practicing. But I'm enjoying the time.
How is it good to meet all these new teammates for you?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I play with Velasquez and Williams. I know them. They are a good guy, good person, and they got a good talent. That's good for me because I have to be better. You know, I got a competition, so I have to be better and better.
How do you want to get better next year?
My defense and my agility, yeah. In that, I have to be better in my defense.
And offense, where do you want to be better?
Make contact. I have to better in the zone, you know, taking a pitch.
What was it like for you? First year United States, how was the adjustment?
It was difficult for me because I didn't know anything about English. And the food is not the same. I miss a lot of my family. you know, but I have to make adjustment and learn English and keep working hard and do what I have to do.
That's Willie Adames, a very mature 19-year-old who again has spent less than a year in the United States. While 9 of 29 players in the winter development camp were traded from other organizations, several were Rays draft picks, including last year's first-round selection, Casey Gillespie. I asked Gillespie how helpful the camp has been.
It's a good experience anytime you can step foot in, you know, big league facilities. It's obviously pretty cool, and you know, I'm very thankful that I had the opportunity to come here. So it's just been a good few days to, you know, work out and be in this kind of setting.
How helpful has it been to also meet a lot of potential new teammates, because there has been a lot of turnover or change with a lot of prospects coming to the organization?
It's cool. I mean, it's always good to meet new players and you know, see, you know, hear about their side of the story. And so, I mean, it's been a good experience so far meeting new guys.
Did you know many of them, or did you know a lot of the guys who've been traded, having played against them either in college or elsewhere?
No, I haven't ran into many that I've played against, but obviously it's the same game, and I've been looking forward to getting to play with them more.
When you signed last year, you went to Hudson Valley. You spent the entire time. What did you learn in Hudson Valley that has helped you in terms of your prep for this year?
Just stick with it. You just got to come every day to the park ready to go and have the mentality that you're going to work hard and get better. And, you know, just every day, it's an everyday thing. So I'm taking that into next year.
I think when you were drafted, we talked a lot about the value of having a brother playing at the big league level. What have you, picked his brain in the off season after getting to experience professional ball a little bit?
You know, I picked it a little bit, but, you know, he's told me you just got to go through it and you got to put in your time. And that's something that I learned from him, is just you got to put in your time and you got to go through it yourself before you really realize what pro ball is like.
Do you set personal goals for yourself for this year? Obviously, this would be your first full season.
No, I haven't set any yet, but I still have a couple weeks to do that. So maybe that's what I'll be doing once I go back home after this.
That's Casey Gillespie, his brother Connor, a member of the Chicago White Sox. Casey spent last year in Hudson Valley, and this year will play full season ball, more than likely, in Bowling Green or Charlotte. Now, Gillespie had a solid debut in pro ball. Pitcher Brent Honeywell, also a draft pick a year ago, was extremely impressive in rookie league Princeton. And I asked the right-handed pitcher how the camp has been a plus for him.
Time to come down here and meet all the new guys, you know, such as our, you know, new acquired guys like Sapp and Boog and, you know, other guys that come over here from just different teams. You know, it's time to, basically it's a jump start into spring training. You know, make sure we're doing all right, make sure we're getting our work done at home, you know, all that good stuff. You know, you get to mingle down here with guys like Cobb and Archer, and, you know, I met McGee today, which is, you know, he was a class guy. Matt Moore, I mean, and his dog, Griffin. but, you know, it's just, you know, it's another fun time, another fun opportunity to be down here.
Is it helpful for you to kind of get to know the guys, and what have you learned?
Yeah, I mean, anything you get to do with the organization that's, you know, playing in the big league park, being in the big league clubhouse, that's going to help, you know, drastic measures just itself, you know, mingling with the guys, like I said. But, you know, a lot of help being done, you know, getting back basically in shape. And, you know, they're not trying to whip us in shape with, you know, 3 to 4 days, but, you know, they're putting us on the right track to be there for spring training. You know, they can tell us you don't come into spring training looking to prepare. You got to be prepared when you get there.
You've learned a lot, I'm sure, at Princeton and performed very, very well. So how did you go into the off season? What are you kind of trying to do to get yourself ready for, I'm sure, what you hope is a year of full season ball now?
I basically went in and, you know, I took some time off, which I've never really had the opportunity to take time off. I was in college ball. I was playing college ball, fall ball. I mean, all that stuff, you know. When, back when I was in high school, we had travel ball. I'd play all year round, but, you know, taking that like month and a half, 2 month time off was, you know, different. It kind of made me, you know, bored, you know. So I mean, I'm happy to get out here and be with all the guys to start throwing, but, you know, I started throwing probably, you know, just tossing about a couple weeks ago. You know, nothing real strenuous, but, you know, now it's time to go. So
Do you have goals for yourself for this year, what you want to accomplish?
What I really want to accomplish is, you know, being with basically in a setting with different people. And I want to be known as a great teammate, class guy, and all that stuff. But, you know, self goals, I'm looking to be stronger next year. You know, is coming off a strong season this season, so, you know, can't do anything but try and go harder and better than that.
That's Brent Honeywell, who had a 107 ERA in his first stint in pro ball last year with Princeton. He's probably one of the more intriguing personalities at this week's Winter Development Program, and a good way to close out that portion of the broadcast. Now, I know for some of you as fans, there's been a lot to digest at the major league level. So I thought that being said, let's take a broad look at the offseason.
Time now to head up to the press box.
We continue on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, and joining me, good friend Andy Free, to take a look back and look forward at what's gone on in this offseason. Andy, thanks very much for being with us. I'm sure for all of us it's been kind of hard to keep tabs on everything. Let's start with Ben Zobrist, and you spent so much time with him, what he meant, and if there's any stories about him that kind of epitomize who he was to this organization.
Well, I mean, I said this to Ben, and you know, in this day and age of being around professional athletes, I mean, there are guys that I'll put it to you this way. I've told Ben before that I would be honored or thrilled if my kids ever wanted to wear his jersey, and that's the way I felt about it. I still do. I mean, because how many times does Ben make the right choice and things to say? You know, I look back at the famous missed call at home plate against the Rangers early in the 2013 season. I'm blanking on the name of the umpire for some reason. Marty Foster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, much of the talk after the game and the next day that when we were talking to Joe Maddon about it is, how lucky is baseball that it was Ben Zobrist that happened to? Because Ben, in that stressful moment where he was called out on a ridiculous call that ended the game, when the Rays were about to get Longoria at the plate and about to blow a save for Joe Nathan, and it was just kind of ripped out of their hands, how lucky was baseball that it was a guy that kept a measured response in that emotional moment? And that, to me, kind of defines Ben Zobrist a little bit. Not only articulate, but measured, and seemed to have, I think, a perspective that most players don't. I'll miss him, I think, as much on a personal level as anything else. And, you know, to me, he's the guy that baseball is about. You know, I don't even want to say the common player, because that might bring it down. But it's one thing to have superstars, but it's another thing to see a guy that's like a self-made player. I remember talking to Jerry Hunsaker, who, of course, knew Ben Zobrist as a minor league player. And Jerry said that they had Ben pegged for probably a Triple-A shortstop when he was coming up. And what did he become? He became a guy that is so sought after now that once he is traded to the Oakland A's, that Billy Beane comes out and says that within 5 minutes he had half the GMs in baseball asking him, would you flip Zobrist for this guy or that guy? I mean, that's, you know, to me, I think Ben was kind of a pioneer in baseball in a mold that, like, Sean Figgins and several other guys, I think, really pioneered, in that if you have the right attitude, that you can become attitude becomes a very valuable tool, because he'll do anything you want him to. And, you know, we could talk all day about Ben Zobrist. I'll miss the guy. I love the guy. And I just wish him and his family nothing but the best. You know, you and I and Dave got a chance to see their family grow from behind the scenes. You know, Giuliana's career, and then Zion and Cruz running around under the, you know, under Tropicana Field. So I love him. I'll miss him. Miss him dearly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, same goes for all of us. The trade, though, in your mind, where does it make sense, and how do you look at it going forward?
To me, it epitomizes that mantra that we've been hearing ever since the new ownership took over a decade ago, and that is one eye on the present, one eye on the future. I mean, they got what they needed in a left-handed bat in John Jaso that hopefully, because he won't be catching that much, in fact, probably hardly at all, will be able to be in there and stay healthy. I mean, there's only so many knocks to the head that your noggin can take when you're catching. So we'll see him every so often. But I think his real value with this team is offensively. You know, one hit that that I think of with John Jaso is early in his career in game, I'm going to say three, against the Rangers in the Division Series of 2010. You know, because the Rays didn't win that series, I think some of the moments of that series end up getting forgotten. But John Jaso got an enormous hit in Game 3 to really save the series against one of the fine Rangers relievers, and they had a great bullpen that year. It might have been Ogando. I have to look that up. But he's a guy who's hitting the clutch, I think, from the beginning of his career. So that's for now. But Robertson is the guy that obviously is the high-end prospect. And they got Boog Powell, too, which I'm thrilled about because I always wanted to call games for Boog Powell growing up in Baltimore. But I think that, to me, it's the classic definition of a trade. You see Zobrist, who we all love, and we all get attached to emotionally, but probably a decent time to make a move if you could get something back, and they got back moves for the present and moves for the future.
And you look at this offseason in totality, and the Rays, other than Ben, really haven't given up anyone who I would say, okay, he's definitely a big piece for the long term, although some may question about Will Myers. But beyond that, they've reloaded their farm system while keeping their core in place and have added eight of their top 20 prospects.
Yeah, and they had to because, you know, this farm system is drying up. You know, the drafts have not been great. I mean, so far as we speak here in January of 2015, we haven't seen a whole lot of breakout guys. You know, we may have seen some fortification at various positions. We've seen a little bit of thickness, but not nearly what we've been hoping, especially out of the top picks. Now, guys like Taylor Guerrero, that may change that as time goes on. But these drafts have not been as fruitful as we had hoped. That 2011 draft was so important, and we haven't seen what we'd hoped out of that draft to this point. So it needs fortification. It needs strengthening. So I think they have certainly done that. I think what happened is, and in the popular thinking and the narrative about what happens with teams is that, well, it's either a fire sale or it's not a fire sale, and this is a fire sale. It's not. You know, that's what the Marlins did after 97. You know, that's what the Padres did at one point in time and various teams have done. This is not a fire sale. I mean, I don't think you fire sale a franchise when you have the sort of pitching that most teams would be envious to have. This pitching staff is set up to win now. So I think the moves made for now are designed to figure out a way to score some more runs. You know, power bats are not exactly plentiful on the open market right now unless you're willing to overpay like a Nelson Cruz situation, which the Rays are not going to be able to do. So I think they're trying to figure out and be creative about ways to score runs right now. But this is not a fire sale in any way. Even the guys that you and I both think really do impact and would have impacted this team, Will Myers and Ben Zobrist, they got a lot back, at least it seems to be, for making those deals. We'll only have to see going forward, but I do think there's a lot to be pretty excited about now for the Rays and building for the future in addition to being a contending team. It may very well be an attainable division in 2015 in the AL East.
And going forward, I get the sense they're not done yet in terms of the whether you want to call it tweaking or you know, roster overhaul that they've undergone.
Oh, my gosh, I couldn't agree more. I don't think they're close to being done. I don't know when they'll be close to being done. I think this is, you know, when Andrew came on, it was, well, I can't be afraid to be bold in making moves. Well, Matt has taken that and really, really run with it, which is fine. You know, I think change is scary in many ways. But if you ever want to have some salve on the wound, you look back at some of the newspaper articles from some of the deals that Andrew made early on. I mean, you and I remember, I know you remember, that trading Delman Young, when it happened, was not popular in this area, you know, because Delman had been built up to be, you know, the next big thing for the then Devil Rays and becoming the Rays. Well, that ended up being maybe one of the top three, if not number one, most important trades this franchise has ever made. So change is absolutely scary because you don't know the names of people coming back. You develop attachments to players that you have. Especially sentimental ones and emotional ones like a Ben Zobrist. But this is something that has had to happen for this team. When, what were we protecting? what did we want? We won 77 games last year. Shouldn't you be enthusiastic about trades? But you know, I can understand from a fan standpoint. It's hard to jump on board totally when you don't know what you're getting back. But that's why I think you and me and Dave are going to be spending so much time around spring training, because we need to be the answer guys, because there's a lot that you and I don't know right now that we're still going to be learning about this. I don't ever remember a spring training like the one coming up where we will have so much and so many bodies to learn and know about and introductions, and that's okay. If ever there was going to be a year for it, this is the year. If ever we're going to have a year of newness, this is what 2015 is going to represent, at least at the beginning.
Great stories to tell, and it'll be fun telling them over the course of the next several months. We look forward to seeing you down in Port Charlotte, and we've got our countdown opening day show just a few weeks away. So good stuff. Andy, we'll catch up with you again soon.
You bet. Anytime.
That's Andy Fried on the offseason in a segment we like to call From the Press Box. Now, on Friday, the Rays have to reach agreement on their 8 arbitration cases, or likely go to trial. On our next show, we'll detail the process and have further news on the Rays offseason. Don't forget to continue to follow our blog, raysradio.mlblogs.com, and on Twitter, we're at Rays Radio. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak with you soon.
Thank you for listening to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. For more on the Rays this offseason, visit our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com and follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio.